Quranic insight, we gain wisdom's light. Through Quranic insight, we gain wisdom's light. Illuminating our path to what is right. Illuminating our path to what is right. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to Madani Channel's program, Quranic Insight. In the previous episode, we discussed the selected topic from Surah Al-Anfal, Trust in Allah Almighty. We began by exploring whose practice it is to rely on Allah Almighty and how this is one of their attributes. Following this, we mentioned a blessed verse from the Holy Quran related to relying on Allah Almighty. We then discussed the virtues of reliance on Allah and ways to develop it. We concluded with a special invocation from Surah Al-Anfal. In today's episode, we will start a new chapter, Surah At-Tawbah, and discuss the selected topic, the disasters and harms of self-conceit. We will first explain the disasters of self-conceit, followed by its definition, condemnation and harms. Later, we will explore the causes and remedies for self-conceit. But before all of this, we will briefly introduce Surah At-Tawbah. Let's begin today's discussion by highlighting the virtue of sending durood upon the beloved Prophet Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Whoever sends 100 durood upon me, Allah Almighty will write between his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the hellfire, and will place him among the martyrs on Judgment Day." Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Dear viewers, in terms of the sequence of chapters in the Holy Quran, Surah At-Tawbah is the 9th chapter, while in the order of revelation, it is the 113th. This chapter was revealed in Medina. It comprises 16 rukus and 129 verses. Surah At-Tawbah has more than 10 names, with two being the most well-known. At-Tawbah, it is called Tawbah because of the frequent mention of repentance in this chapter. Al-Bara'ah, this name signifies disavowal, referring to the declaration of disavowal from the non-Muslims in the opening verse. Thus, it is also known as Surah Al-Bara'ah. A unique feature of this chapter is that Bismillah is not written at its beginning. The primary reason for this is that Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salam did not reveal Bismillah along with this chapter, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not instruct it to be written. Surah At-Tawbah covers the following topics. The harms of self-conceit are discussed. Warnings are given regarding neglecting zakah, along with its rightful recipients. The virtues of building masajid are highlighted, including the specific excellence of Quba Masjid. Dear viewers, in today's episode, we will focus on the topic of the disasters and harms of self-conceit. Dear viewers, self-conceit is a destructive disease that leads a person to the brink of ruin, resulting in the loss of both his worldly life and the hereafter. A self-conceited individual becomes pleased with his own self, and this satisfaction breeds countless shortcomings and spiritual illnesses. Typically, a person falls into self-conceit due to his actions, attributing his good deeds to his own efforts, while distancing himself from blame
for any wrongdoing. This is an attitude rooted in ignorance. It is crucial to remember that nothing in this universe can happen without the will of Allah Almighty. Even the act of taking a single breath is impossible without His permission. Yet humans often forget this truth, crediting their good deeds and achievements to themselves, and thereby falling into the trap of self-conceit. Allah Almighty dislikes those who indulge in self-conceit. At times, to awaken such individuals from their heedlessness, He afflicts them with trials. As stated in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah Almighty highlights the disasters of self-conceit, saying,
لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ.
Translation from Kanzul Irfan, indeed Allah has helped you in many places. And remember the day of Hunayn, when you were impressed by your great numbers during the Battle of Hunayn. The Muslim army faced the tribes of Hawazin and Saqif. At that time, the Muslim army numbered 12,000. As this powerful force advanced towards Hunayn, its grandeur and sheer size caused some holy companions alayhim ridwan to exclaim, "Today, no one can defeat us." Allah Almighty did not approve of their pride in the army's strength. As a result, the Muslim forces began to retreat. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked around, he saw that apart from a handful of devoted companions, most had fled. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu to call the Ansar and Muhajireen. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu shouted, "Ya ma'shar al-Ansar, ya lal Muhajireen." In an instant, the Muslim army returned with renewed vigor, and Allah Almighty granted them victory. Hence, the Muslims' indulgence in self-conceit became the reason for their trial, as despite their large numbers, they began to retreat from the battlefield. Allah Almighty swiftly rescued them from this calamity by sending tranquility into their hearts, and they returned victorious. Every excellence a person possesses is purely a favor from Allah Almighty. Dear viewers, this verse teaches us several important lessons. A Muslim's true reliance should always be on the help of Allah Almighty. While we are commanded to utilize means and resources, placing full reliance solely on them is not benefiting for a believer. Self-conceit is disliked by Allah Almighty. Therefore, every achievement and excellence should be seen as a favor from Allah Almighty, not the result of one's own effort, as Allah Almighty proclaims,
وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
Translation from Kanzul Irfan, and had it not been for the grace of Allah and His mercy upon you, then no one among you would have ever become pure. And however, Allah purifies whomsoever He wills, and Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Self-conceit incurs the displeasure and wrath of Allah Almighty to an unimaginable extent. It leads to ignorance and foolishness with no bounds. This single vice has the power to destroy all virtues. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Self-conceit ruins good deeds of 70 years." Allahu Akbar. The reason for this is that a person afflicted with self-conceit tends to overvalue his own actions, believing them to be superior. This person becomes like one who is affected by the evil eye, leading to his ruin. For this reason, wise people say that self-conceit is the equivalent of the evil eye upon one's deeds. It is narrated that the evil eye can even cause a person to enter the grave. Just as the evil eye can destroy a person, it can also nullify and invalidate his good deeds. At times, a person's heart becomes oblique with heedlessness, causing him to regard his righteous actions as his own achievements. He fails to acknowledge the favor of Allah Almighty, who granted him the strength and ability to do good and gave him the opportunity to do so. Dear viewers, self-conceit is the cause of Allah's displeasure. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who feels remorse for his sins is like someone who has never sinned at all. The one who feels remorse waits for Allah's mercy, whereas the one indulging in self-conceit is awaiting Allah's displeasure. So we should strive to be waiting for Allah's mercy, not His displeasure. We must be cautious of falling into self-conceit and should engage in actions that are free from it. For instance, when Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu would deliver a sermon, he would fear self-conceit so much that he would stop speaking and turn to actions in which self-conceit had no place. At times when writing a letter, he would tear it up out of fear of self-conceit and say, "O Allah Almighty, I seek refuge in you from the evil of my evil, baser self." We should also strive to follow the example of our pious predecessors and avoid self-conceit so that we do not face Allah Almighty's displeasure and our good deeds are not wasted. Dear viewers, for us to avoid self-conceit, it is only possible when we understand what it truly means. So let's learn the definition of self-conceit. Self-conceit is when a person attributes his excellence, such as knowledge, actions, or wealth, to himself and fails to fear that it could be taken away. It is as if the self-conceited person forgets to attribute the bounty to the true bestower of bounties, Allah Almighty. Dear viewers, several ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam highlight the condemnation of self-conceit. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Even if you do not commit any sins, I fear for you a greater offense than that." And that is self-conceit. Did you hear that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described self-conceit as a grave sin? Similarly, in another instance, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned things that lead to destruction, and self-conceit was included among them. Dear viewers, self-conceit is a dangerous internal disease found in humans. It leads a person to rely on his ego instead of expressing gratitude to the true Creator. It causes one to see himself as everything. Self-conceit is a condition that diverts attention from praising Allah Almighty to praising oneself. Instead of humility and submission before Allah Almighty, it drives a person toward arrogance and pride. Self-conceit ruins good deeds. While many things can taint one's actions, self-conceit and show-off are specifically highlighted because they are at the root of most spiritual downfalls. A pious saint once advised avoiding 10 things that corrupt actions, one of which is self-conceit. Dear viewers, a person afflicted with self-conceit suffers far more than just the loss of his good deeds. It leads to numerous other harms. For instance, self-conceit erodes good manners and fosters bad behavior. It becomes a cause of Allah Almighty's displeasure and brings about negative traits such as anger, jealousy, malice, and arrogance. Arrogance, in turn, gives rise to countless other problems. A self-conceited person often overlooks his sins, either by ignoring them completely or dismissing them as insignificant, and fails to seek forgiveness or make amends. He may even assume he will automatically be forgiven. When it comes to acts of worship and good deeds, such a person considers them immense achievements while forgetting that the ability to perform these deeds comes solely from Allah Almighty's grace. Self-conceit compels a person to praise his ego and display a false sense of purity. Ultimately, he falls into the trap of Satan, who thrives on leading people astray through such delusions. Once a disciple of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi began having nightly dreams where angels would escort him on royal mounts, taking him on tours of paradise and offering him various heavenly fruits. Over time, he became self-conceited, believing himself to be exceptionally pious. This self-admiration led him to stop attending the gatherings of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi. Noticing the disciples' prolonged absence, Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi decided to visit him, thinking he might be unwell. When Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi arrived, he found the disciple seated in great pride and splendor. Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi inquired about his condition, and the disciple boastfully described his elevated spiritual status and the nightly tours of paradise. Understanding the situation immediately, Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi advised him, "Tonight, when you are in paradise, recite La hawla wa la quwwata before eating any fruits." The disciple agreed. That night, as usual, he entered paradise in his dream and remembered his shaykh's instruction. The moment he recited La hawla wa la quwwata, a deafening scream was heard, and the entire scene of paradise transformed into a filthy garbage dump filled with scattered human bones. The disciple immediately realized that he had fallen into the trap of self-conceit and had been deceived by Satan. Deeply remorseful, he returned to Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, tearfully repented for his arrogance and began to stay under his shaykh's guidance and training once again. Dear viewers, did you hear how the disciple of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi fell into the trap of self-conceit by mistaking a satanic dream for his own spiritual greatness? He came dangerously close to destruction, but through the wisdom and guidance of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was saved from ruin. This teaches us the importance of staying closely connected to a true spiritual guide who can help protect us from such pitfalls. In today's challenging times, one such guiding light for the Ummah in all aspects of life is the founder of Dawat-e-Islami, Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadiri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Adiyah. It is essential to remain attached to his teachings and guidance. Additionally, we must regularly reflect on our actions to ensure we are not falling into the trap of self-conceit. If we notice any sign of self-admiration in our deeds, we should strive to identify its causes and work diligently to remedy it. Dear viewers, the treatment of self-conceit is only possible when we understand its causes and how to address them. So let's learn about the causes of self-conceit and their remedies. The first cause, becoming self-conceited due to one's physical appearance. The remedy for this is to reflect on one's inner flaws and contemplate one's origin and ultimate end. The second cause, taking pride in one's strength and power. The remedy for this is to reflect on the fact that Allah Almighty can take away that strength at any moment by subjecting a person to a small trial. The third cause, taking pride in one's intellect. The remedy for this is to reflect on the fact that this bounty can be taken away due to an illness or an accident. The fourth cause, boasting about one's noble lineage. The remedy for this is to reflect on the thought, how is it possible to reach the status of one's ancestors while opposing them? The fifth cause, being proud of support from an oppressor. The remedy for this is to focus on the ultimate fate of these oppressors in the hereafter. The sixth cause, being proud of one's servants or subordinates. The remedy for this is to focus on his own weaknesses and remind himself that all people are humble bondsmen of Allah Almighty. The seventh cause, being proud of wealth. The remedy for this is to keep in mind the dangers of wealth, its rights, and the trials it may bring. The eighth cause, being proud of one's own opinions. The remedy for this is to never trust the correctness of his own opinion completely. May Allah Almighty grant us all the ability to stay away from self-conceit. And may He grant those who are affected by it the ability to find the cure. Dear viewers, in today's episode, we begin a new chapter, Surah At-Tawbah, and presented a brief introduction to it. We then discussed the selected topic from this chapter, which was the disasters and harms of self-conceit. In this regard, we first talked about the harms of self-conceit, followed by its definition, condemnation, and the consequences it brings. We also discussed the causes and remedies for self-conceit. May Allah Almighty accept our efforts and make them fruitful. Inshallah, we will be back with a new topic in the next episode. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Through Quranic insight we gain wisdom's light. Through Quranic insight we gain wisdom's light. Illuminating our path to what is right. Illuminating our path to what is right.